Welcome to the deep dive. Picture this for a second. You have your hardware components laid out all over your
Oh
workbench.
yeah, classic weekend project.
Right. You are building this massive gaming rig from scratch. Or, I mean, maybe you're just finally upgrading the internal storage on your PS5 so you don't have to delete like three old games just to install a single new one.
The struggle with that is so real.
It really is. Whatever the project is, you're going to need storage. You need a solid state drive. But the second you open up a browser to research your options, you just hit this massive brick wall of highly intimidating technical jargon.
It is entirely a different language. You go in simply looking for a drive to hold your file, and suddenly you're drowning in a sea of acronyms.
Yeah, exactly. You see these strings of letters and numbers, NVMe, PCIe, Gen 4, Gen 5, QLC, TLC. M.2 2280.
Just alphabet soup.
Right. And you just want to know what is actually going to work for your specific machine without, completely emptying your wallet. So today we're pulling from a really detailed, highly technical article from the Best SSD blog. It's titled Best Budget NVMe SSDs for US Buyers in 2026.
It's a great piece.
It is. And our mission today is basically to act as your ultimate buying guide. We're going to decode all this alphabet soup, explain the physical mechanisms powering these technologies, and help you find that exact sweet spot for your hardware needs.
And, looking at this 2026 roundup, the overarching theme here is really the sheer democratization of speed.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, just a few years ago, the performance numbers we were seeing in these drives would have cost a massive premium. They were luxury items built strictly for extreme enthusiasts.
Yeah, you'd be spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Exactly. But today, top-tier features and just blazing fast speeds are available right in that like $110 to $150 range. The floor for what we consider budget technology has just been raised incredibly high.
Well, okay, let's unpack the foundational terminology first, because the article throws around NVMe and PCIe right out of the gate like it's the gold standard.
Which it is, to be fair.
Right, it is. And if you've been following PC building, you know these drives are fast. But we really need to understand the architecture of why they replaced those old SATA drives you used to see. So, PCIe, Peripheral Component Interconnect Express, is literally the physical data highway built into your motherboard.
Yeah, think of those older SATA connections, like a two-lane country road.
Right.
It had a very hard physical speed limit built into the cables themselves.
Yeah.
PCIe, though, is a multi-lane superhighway wired directly into the processor. So when we discuss Gen 4 or Gen 5, we're talking about the generational upgrades to the physical infrastructure of that highway.
Paving more lanes.
Exactly. Each new generation essentially doubles the speed limit and the total data bandwidth of the previous iteration.
And then you have NVMe, which stands for Non-Volatile Memory Express. That's the protocol, right? It's the language the solid state drive uses to actually talk to the computer over that PCIe highway.
Right.
Because before NVMe, SSDs were forced to use these older protocols that were designed specifically for those old spinning mechanical hard drives. It's like the equivalent of putting a Formula One engine inside a heavy agricultural tractor.
That is a very good way to put it.
NVMe was engineered from the ground up specifically for flash memory, so it allows the drive to handle tens of thousands of simultaneous commands instead of just a handful.
And that combination, the NVMe language traveling over that physical PCIe highway, that is exactly what allows modern drives to push gigabytes of data per second.
Right. So moving on to the physical shape of the drives in this roundup, they refer to it as the M.2 2280 form factor. And that 2280 designation, it literally just means the board is 22 millimeters wide by 80 millimeters long.
Which is pretty tiny.
It's tiny, but it's become the undisputed king of consumer storage. It basically eliminated all those shorter or longer variations that used to, fragment the market.
Well, the dominance of 2280 really comes down to physical real estate.
Not so.
An 80 millimeter board provides exactly the optimal surface area for manufacturers to fit a high performance memory controller chip right alongside multiple high density NAND flash memory packages.
So it's the Goldilocks says.
Exactly. It gives them enough room to easily hit 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte capacities while still being small enough to, say, slide neatly under a massive graphics card on a desktop motherboard
Or
or
fit into the PS5.
into the highly restrictive, cramped expansion slot of a PS5 console.
So with that 2280 physical baseline established, the next parameter the source evaluates is capacity. And the buying guide lays out a pretty stark reality for 2026. A 500 gigabyte drive is entirely dead for primary use.
Completely dead.
It's strictly just a boot drive for your operating system now and maybe a few core productivity applications.
Yeah, because modern application and game installs, they regularly exceed 150 gigabytes all on their own.
Oh, easily. Call of Duty alone will eat half a drive.
Exactly. And high-definition video assets for editing are just massive. So 1 terabyte has really become the absolute minimum standard. And the source actually notes that stepping up to a 2 terabyte or a 4 terabyte drive offers better long-term value.
Because you don't have to swap it out as fast.
Right, simply because you're not forced to physically replace the drive as your storage needs inevitably grow over the next few years.
But, you know, because users are holding on to these larger 2 and 4 terabyte drives for much longer periods, they're being subjected to years of continuous read and write cycles. And that means capacity is totally irrelevant if the drive just dies on you. Which introduces our next critical metric from the article, endurance.
Yes, the article measures endurance in TBW, or terabytes written. Solid-state drives, they do have a finite physical lifespan.
They don't last forever.
No, they don't. Every single time you write and erase data, you are microscopically degrading the physical cells inside the flash memory. So a higher TBW rating indicates a much more robust drive architecture that can sustain massive amounts of data rewrites before those memory cells inevitably fail.
And here is where the real cost-saving engineering comes in, which involves TLC and QLC NAND flash memory. TLC is triple-level cell, and QLC is quad-level cell.
Right.
To understand this, we kind of have to look at the microscopic physical structure of flash memory. Basically, data is stored in something called a floating gate transistor. So think of it like a microscopic cage that traps electrons.
And the specific amount of electrons trapped in that cage dictates the voltage state,
yeah,
which the computer controller then reads as binary data.
Exactly. So let me try an analogy here. Think of NAND storage like a parking garage. TLC, or triple-level cell, basically assigns 3 cars to a single parking spot. It assigns 8 distinct voltage states to that microscopic cage.
Okay, I follow.
But QLC, quad-level cell, assigns 4 cars to that exact same spot. It forces 16 distinct voltage states into the exact same physical cage.
Wow.
Right. So because manufacturers are cramming more data into the exact same silicon footprint, QLC drives are significantly cheaper to manufacture per gigabyte. You're fitting more cars in the same garage. But there's a massive physical trade-off here.
There is. And what's fascinating here is how the memory controller handles it. The controller chip on the drive has to be incredibly precise to read and write those 16 crowded voltage states. Inside that physical cell, there is an incredibly thin oxide layer that keeps those electrons trapped.
Like the pavement in the parking garage.
Right. And every time you erase and rewrite data, a high voltage blast is sent through that oxide layer, physically wearing it down on an atomic level.
Ouch.
Yeah. As that barrier degrades over time from heavy use, electrons can actually leak. It becomes much, much harder for the controller to accurately distinguish between 16 tightly packed voltage states compared to just 8.
So the cell essentially loses its ability to hold a reliable charge, which leads to a faster effective death of that cell. That's the constant shuffling of cars wearing down the pavement.
Exactly. That is the fundamental physical reason why QLC drives have a noticeably lower TBW endurance rating than TLC drives. You are actively trading longevity for cheaper, higher density storage.
That makes perfect sense.
And this architectural difference connects directly to the other major cost-saving technology highlighted in the budget roundup, which is DRAM versus DRAMless architecture. Historically, purchasing an SSD without a dedicated onboard DRAM cache was just a terrible idea.
Oh, I remember building PCs a few years ago where a DRAMless drive was an absolute deal breaker for system performance. I mean, they were notoriously sluggish. They caused system lockups. Just awful.
Because that dedicated DRAM cache acts as a hyper-fast map. It tells the computer exactly where every single piece of data is physically located across all those millions of microscopic electron cages we just discussed.
Right.
Without that dedicated physical map right there on the drive, the SSD had to constantly search its own slower flash memory to find files. And that caused severe input lag and system stuttering.
But the industry basically solved this architectural bottleneck for modern budget drives using HMB, right? Host memory buffer.
He did.
So instead of soldering an expensive dedicated DRAM chip directly onto the SSD board, HMB allows the drive to reach across the PCIe data highway and borrow a tiny fraction of your computer's main system RAM to store that vital mapping table.
Yeah, it cleverly utilizes the computer's existing high-speed memory architecture. This completely eliminates the manufacturing cost of the DRAM chip, bringing the retail price of the SSD way down while still maintaining that snappy, highly responsive performance you expect from an NVMe drive.
Okay, so now that we understand the internal mechanisms, you know, how QLC increases data density and how HMB eliminates expensive GM costs, we can actually examine how these technologies perform in real-world scenarios.
Let's do it.
The source pits the two cheapest Gen 4 drives against each other in this kind of budget showdown. In the red corner, we have the WD Black SN7100. It is priced at just $110 for a 1 terabyte drive.
Great price.
Right. It hits 7,250 megabytes per second on sequential reads. It utilizes the more durable TLC NAND flash. It's a DRAM-less drive using that HMB architecture we just talked about. And it boasts a really robust 600 TBW endurance rating.
Very solid.
And the article also notes it runs incredibly cool, making it their absolute top pick for thin, thermally restricted laptops.
Which makes it a remarkably efficient piece of hardware for that specific price point.
Definitely. But then in the blue corner, we have the Crucial P310. Now, this drive costs $120 for 1 terabyte. It hits 7,100 megabytes per second for reads and 6,000 for writes. But it utilizes the cheaper QLC NAND flash. And because of that atomic degradation we outlined earlier, its endurance drops to around 400 TBW.
So evaluating those two sets of specifications side by side reveals a pretty stark contrast.
Yeah, and here is where it gets really interesting, because I have to aggressively push back on the article's framing of this comparison.
Whoa.
Yeah, just look at the raw mathematical numbers here. The WD Black is cheaper by $10. It has slightly faster sequential read speeds. It has vastly superior endurance at 600 TBW versus 400. And it utilizes the superior TLC memory technology instead of the crowded QLC.
Right.
So why on earth would anyone purchase the Crucial P310? I mean, it costs more money for slower sequential speeds, cheaper flash memory, and a noticeably shorter lifespan. On paper, it feels like a completely irrational purchase.
Well, if you are solely evaluating sequential read speeds, endurance, and price per terabyte, your assessment is completely accurate. WD Black is mathematically the superior drive there.
Right.
But, and this is a big but, we have to look at a very specific, highly technical metric in the text regarding the Crucial P310. The source states that the P310 achieves over 1 million random read and write IOPS.
Okay, IOPS, input-output operations per second. Explain that.
Right. This distinction between sequential speed and IOPS changes the entire evaluation framework. Sequential read speed, that massive 7,250 megabytes per second advertised on the WD Black box, it operates like a high-speed freight train.
Okay.
It is incredibly efficient at moving one massive, continuous block of data, like a 100 gigabyte 4K video file from point A to point B.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense for like a video editor transferring massive raw footage files across drives all day.
Exactly. IOPS, however, measures random data performance. So instead of a single freight train moving one huge file, IOPS is like a fleet of 1 million delivery drones rapidly buzzing around, fetching thousands of tiny, highly scattered data packages all at the exact same millisecond.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When you are playing a modern open-world video game, the computer is not loading a single continuous file.
Okay.
It is frantically pulling thousands of tiny 4K textures, audio files, physics scripts, and lighting data from completely random physical locations all across the flash memory chips.
Right, because if the game engine doesn't get all those disparate pieces of data instantly, the game visually stutters and drops frame rates.
Precisely. The Crucial P310's memory controller chip is heavily optimized for that specific drone fleet behavior. Hitting over 1 million IOPS means it excels at juggling those thousands of simultaneous tiny requests without creating an architectural bottleneck.
Ah, okay.
And that is exactly why the source explicitly labels the P310 perfect for gaming or mixed workloads. It's a masterclass in matching the drive's underlying controller architecture to your actual daily computing habits, rather than just buying the hardware with the highest sequential top speed printed on the box.
You know, that distinction completely reframes the buying decision. So we've explored pure budget Gen 4 efficiency based on specific workloads. But what if you prioritize brand ecosystem and historical reliability over just raw spec sheets? Or what if you want to push into the actual bleeding edge of PCIe technology?
The fun stuff.
Exactly. That brings us to the final two drives in the roundup. First is the Samsung 990 EVO Plus. It's priced slightly higher at $130 for 1 terabyte. It's a DRAM-less TLC drive. But what is really fascinating about the source article is that they don't even list the specific sequential read and write speeds for this drive in the primary breakdown.
They don't.
No, they sell it entirely on Samsung's track record for durability and efficient thermal management. They call it the value champion. And specifically note, it is perfect for a PS5 console.
You know, that omission of raw speed metrics is incredibly telling, and it really highlights Samsung's unique position in the storage market.
How so?
Well, Samsung is one of the only hardware manufacturers that is entirely vertically integrated. They design and manufacture the NAND flash memory, the custom memory controller chip, and the complex software firmware all in-house.
Wow, they do it all.
All of it. And that level of absolute hardware and software integration allows them to aggressively optimize power draw and thermal output at a level competitors really struggle to match.
Which is absolutely critical in a heavily restricted console environment. Mm-hmm. Because the inside of a PS5 is basically an oven.
It really is. Inside that cramped, airflow-restricted chassis of a PS5, thermal management essentially dictates your overall system performance. If an SSD controller chip gets too hot processing data, it initiates thermal throttling.
Right, where it intentionally cripples its own read and write speeds just to prevent physical silicon damage.
Exactly. You could install the fastest theoretical drive on the market, but if it overheats in 15 minutes of gameplay, your frame rates will grind to a halt. Samsung drives command that $130 price point because they offer the reliability of a highly integrated architecture that consistently avoids thermal throttling under heavy loads.
It's the premium you pay for engineering trust.
Absolutely.
But then we have the absolute wild card of the roundup, the crucial P510. This drive costs $150 for 1 terabyte. And unlike the others, it is a PCIe Gen 5 drive.
This is a big deal.
It's huge. I mean, it feels like looking at a futuristic concept car that was previously, like, way too expensive and way too volatile to drive on normal roads, suddenly becoming street legal for the average consumer. To get entry-level Gen 5 technology for only $30 or $40 more than a base Gen 4 drive is a massive leap in consumer hardware.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the inclusion of the P510 illustrates exactly how rapidly the PCIe 5.0 architecture is maturing. To understand why this is so significant, you have to look at the data lanes connecting the drive to the CPU.
Okay.
Gen 4 transfers data at roughly 16 gigatransfers per second per lane. Gen 5 doubles that capacity to 32 gigatransfers per second.
Wow, double.
Double. And when early Gen 5 drives hit the market recently, they utilize that massive bandwidth to push data at over 14,000 megabytes per second. But to manage that kind of extreme throughput, the SSD memory controller essentially had to act like a miniature desktop processor. It drew massive wattage, which resulted in extreme, dangerous heat generation.
Yeah, I remember seeing those early Gen 5 drives. They required massive metal heat sinks with tiny high RPM cooling fans physically strapped to the drives just to keep the silicon from literally melting during data transfers.
Exactly. The thermal overhead was immense and highly impractical for average users. You couldn't just put that in a normal laptop.
Yeah, way.
But the source specifically notes that the new Crucial P510 outperforms those early Pioneer models in power efficiency and requires, quote, no hefty cooling needed.
That's incredible.
The engineers have optimized the internal controller architecture to aggressively tame that massive power draw, allowing Gen 5 speeds to operate completely passively without screaming fans. Bringing that refined technology down to a $150 price point is a genuine hardware marvel.
It really is.
However, the buying guide does issue a strict caveat here. For most everyday tasks right now, Gen 4 remains the absolute sweet spot. Unless your motherboard explicitly features a Gen 5 slot, and unless your daily workflow involves moving massive data sets that can actually saturate that double bandwidth, you will simply not perceive the difference in daily use.
So what does this all mean? Let's synthesize the main takeaways from this 2026 buying guide. Basically, you absolutely do not need to empty your wallet to secure top-tier storage performance anymore.
Not at all.
The brilliant engineering workarounds we discussed, you know, eliminating the expensive DRAM chip by borrowing system RAM via HMB architecture and pushing memory density with TLC and QLC structures, they've established 7,000 megabytes per second as the standard baseline for just over $100.
The storage market has matured to offer highly specialized physical tools for very specific computing jobs.
Exactly. If you need a power efficient, cool running drive for a thin work laptop, the WD Black SN7100 is tailored specifically for that restricted environment.
Right.
If you're building a gaming rig and need that massive 1 million IOPS drone fleet to load 4K game textures instantly, the Crucial P310 is your optimized workhorse. If you require the bulletproof, thermally optimized reliability of absolute vertical integration for a cramped PS5, the Samsung 990 EVO Plus is the premium trust pick.
Couldn't agree more.
And if you're an early adopter who wants to transition onto the Gen 5 superhighway without literally melting your motherboard, the Crucial P510 has finally made that accessible. There is a precise architectural fit for whatever hardware you're building or upgrading right now.
There is. But, this technical analysis raises a really important structural question regarding how we actually purchase storage. And it's something you should deeply consider before your next system build.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the source material claims that building a larger 2 terabyte or 4 terabyte drive today offers better long-term value. And on paper, securing maximum storage capacity up front seems entirely logical.
Sure, yeah. Buy more now so you don't run out later.
Right. But we just analyzed how a highly refined, vastly superior Gen 5 architecture is now available at a mere $150 entry point.
Yeah.
So is future-proofing your storage capacity actually a financial trap?
Oh, wow. That completely flips the script on how we approach the checkout cart.
Consider the rapid pace of this hardware evolution. Does it logically make sense to spend hundreds of dollars on a massive maximum capacity Gen 4 drive today, attempting to anticipate your data storage needs 5 years from now?
Probably not, right?
Exactly.
Or is the mathematically smarter play to purchase only the 1 terabyte you strictly need right now, knowing that by the time you actually exhaust that physical space, fully mature, aggressively priced Gen 5 drives will be ubiquitous, just waiting for you to simply slot one into your system?
That is a fascinating point. You really have to decide if you are buying for the realities of the machine you have in front of you today, or if you're overpaying to hoard capacity for a future that will inevitably be vastly faster and significantly cheaper. Keep the physics and the economics of that equation in mind the next time you have your PC case open on the workbench. Thanks for joining us.